Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on the second wide line of Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Omed Aleph. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, Kitoto Beino Leveino. The Mishnah had mentioned that if a couple had gone abroad, and the wife comes back telling us that her husband died, and the couple had been at odds with one another, Tata, feuding, strife between the two. So the woman is not believed when she says that her husband is dead. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Taimo Dimas Nisen Shikotoni Dimhoyok Tata Beino Leveino Eino Nemenes Lomar Meis Bali. We are going to look into the reason behind that which the Mishnah teaches, that when there was strife between the couple, she is not believed to report that my husband died. The Gemara. Hechi domi k'tota beino leveino. What is meant by that? By k'tota, by strife between the two. We have a marking, a series marking, the double underline, and it's featured on the side under the mivneh, shlavim. These are stages. Lahasbir hechi domi k'tota. In order to explain what was meant by that. Omar Rav Yudom Shmuel, Boimeres Labalo Garsheni. A woman who says to her husband, divorce me. So if a woman was saying that to her husband, that's a sign that there is k'tata, and that when she comes back and tells us he died, we won't believe her. The Gemara asks, Kulu Nami Omru Hachi. All women say, divorce me, when they are angry. That's very common. It's not the sign of something so severe that there's k'tata that would be an indication that she would even lie about his death. Elo bo'imeres labailo. Rather, we're talking about a woman who says to her husband, geirashtani, you divorced me. The Gemara asks, Velehemno, well, if that's what the woman said to her husband, she ought to be believed. And if she is divorced, so she's free to marry without any reference to his having died. Based on Midah Rav Huna, based on Rav Hamnuna, that is Rav Hamnuna's teaching. The Omer Rav Hamnuna, Isha Shamru Labailo Geirashtani, a woman who says to her husband, you divorced me. Nemenes, she is believed. Chazaka ein isha mizo panel b'fnei bailo. There is an accepted given. Chazaka is a status, a constant or a given, that women would not be so brash as to say directly to their husbands that, unless they had actually been divorced. So what is the example of k'tata in the Mishnah that is the basis of the Mishnah saying that the woman is not believed when she says meis bali? The Gemara says, she said, b'omeres girashtani b'fnei ploni uploni, a woman who tells us, you divorced me in front of so-and-so, and she mentions people's names who were present when he divorced her. V'sha'ilna, and we asked the Omru, and they said, Lo hoyud ve'or me'olam. No, it never happened. My time o diktata, what is the reason that a woman is not believed if she was experiencing k'tata with her husband? We've established that ketata is defined by a case of a woman having said that to her husband, she says, "You divorced me in front of so-and-so and so-and-so," and we reveal that that wasn't the case. So, what is the reason behind her not being believed? Rav Hanina Omar Mishum de Meshakra. Rashi says, through the hate that she has toward him, she is interested in making herself prohibited to her husband. She would go so far as to say, he's dead, she would marry someone else, and even if he's not dead, she will be then forbidden to her husband. Rav Simi Bar Ashi Omar, Mishum Di Omra B'Didomi. When a woman is at such odds with her husband that there's so much hate between them, she'll say through mere conjecture that he's dead, even if she doesn't know with actual certainty. The Rashi explains, he ties this into the previous sugya, the previous topic that dealt with the non-believability during times of danger, the times of war. So Rashi says, Kol mokom sakona shiroa sa, whenever she appears in a dangerous situation, eino neisenes daito loimar, she doesn't pay close attention to say, or to figure, Shema lo mace, maybe he's not dead, v'lo enosen, I won't remarry. T'hoil v'sanyo le, since she hates him, lo daika kuliha, she's not going to be so careful as to entertain the possibility that maybe he's not dead. So she'll say, based on conjecture, that he is dead. So that in her mind, or the way she presents it, it's as if he's definitely dead. My Binai, what is the difference between Rabbi Hanina's approach and Rav Simi's approach? The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Iko Binayu, the argil hu ktata. The point of difference will be when the husband is the one to have started the strife. The Tosfos at the top says, according to the opinion that says that she is suspect of lying, she would be afraid to lie in the instance that he starts the strife. After all, she has affection toward him. So that if her lack of believability is because of sheker, that you wouldn't have to worry about. You could believe her. According to the approach that says that she'll say things through or based on conjecture. Kevon diyesh k'tata b'dovrim what? Since there is strife between them. B'dovrim what? Omra b'didomi. Even with based on some type of small reason, she will start her conjecturing. Ibaya laho. Eid echod biktata mahu. This question we saw in our previous sugya with regard to Eid echod bimilchama. One witness comes and tells us that the husband is dead, regarding a couple that experienced ketata. Do we believe the witness? My taimo d'eid echad. So in order to answer the question, we analyze what is the basis of our general acceptance of the word of a single witness concerning the death of a man. Is it mishum d'milsa davida ligluya lo mishaker? Information that can become readily apparent. A person wouldn't lie about that. In other words, the man concerning whom it was said is dead could actually come back on his two feet and the witness will look like an outright liar. So information that can become readily apparent, a person wouldn't lie about that. Hacha nami lo meshakir. So that same analysis would apply here as well. And therefore, we could believe the witness. Oy dilma, taimo di'ed echod mehemon, or is it that the reason in general that we say a singular witness who says that a man died enabling a woman to remarry, the reason that is believed, mishum dihi daiko minsaba, was we are basically relying on the woman to check out very carefully, very thoroughly, ascertaining his actual death. And that, coupled with the information provided by the witness, so we believe it, that he is dead. But here, in a case of ktata, kevon is le ktata, since there is a couple that is at odds with one another, lo daiko min sabo, she's not going to be so careful to make sure that he's dead. She's very interested in just being out, getting out, getting away from him. So, since you're lacking that element of daika uminsiba, which means being very thorough and then getting married, so that element is lacking here, we can't rely on the witness who says he's dead. Teku, this remains unresolved. Rebuta Omer Lioilo Meino, Rebuta said in the Mishnah on Kufyudal Ramabes that a woman is not going to be believed unless she comes into court crying with torn clothing, indicating that he's really dead. Tanya, Omru Lo Lerebuta. The Rabbonin who argue with Rebuta say to him, Lidvorecha, according to you, Pikhis Tinase, Shoita Lo Tinase, a woman who's wise or who's shrewd, who knows how to make herself believable, she'll come in crying with torn clothing, so she'll be able to remarry. A woman who's dull, who doesn't know to do that, won't be able to remarry. And that's unreasonable that a distinction should be formed based on how well the ladies know how to play the game. Elo achazu v'achazu tinase. Rather, the Rabbonin say, it makes no difference. As long as a woman comes and says, my husband is dead, that's enough reason to allow her to remarry. Of course, assuming that it's a couple where there was shalom between them and there was shalom in the oilam. Hahi da'asyo lebei dina. Was a woman that came into court claiming my husband is dead. Lebedino de Rebbe Yehuda. She came into the court of Rebbe Yehuda. Amri law. They told the woman, Safti balech, kari monech, sasri mazyech. Eulogize your husband, tear your clothing, undo your hair. So the that, of course, according to Rebbe Yehuda, is the only way she would be believed. The Gemara asks, Alfua shikra. What are they trying to train her how to lie, to put on a show? The Rashi says on the second line from the top, Alfua shikra bitmiha im Rebbe Yehuda svirulahu. If they who are telling the woman hold like Rebbe Yehuda, the einon emenes elim kein boicha, that she's not believed unless she cries. In other words, unless she initiates the crying, Loma hu ruah livkos, why would they train her? Why would they teach her or instruct her to cry? That would in effect be reflective of the fact that it's not true, other than her putting on the show. The Gemara responds, Inhu karabonon sviro lahu. Those that were speaking to the woman hold like the Rabbona, that the externalities are superfluous. It's enough for the woman to simply report that the husband is dead. Amri Tavid Hochi, the people that were talking to the woman in that case, told her to do thusly, Ki Hechi Delishrei, so that even Rabbi Yehuda will be Matir you. As far as we're concerned, even without doing all that, you would be accepted. You'd be believed. But you're appearing in front of Rabbi Yehuda. You've got to present yourself in such a way that even he would accept your story. The topic heading that we have on the side, the nosei, reads as follows: Haim ha demaminim liisha, is it such that that which we believe a woman, that her husband is dead, hainu rak im he ba mimokum korov, is it so only if she comes from a place in proximity of where she shares the news? Beisilu omrim lo shomanu elo beba min hakotzir ba'oisa medina ukemaisa shehoya. We have not heard that she is to be believed when she says Meis Bali, unless she comes from a harvest within that same region, like the story that is featured later on. Meis Shoy is a reference to a story, an incident that took place once upon a time, and the actual incident is referred to in the Gemara, makes reference to it. And you can see that we have a diamond on the second wide line where the Gemara asks, "My Maisa Shoya," a reference to this point in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. The Gemara there will be asking, "What is the Maisa that took place?" Omru Lohem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, "They are more expansive in accepting a woman, accepting her testimony." Whether it's a woman coming from the harvest of grains, she's coming from the harvest of olives, that's the harvest of grapes, and a woman who comes from a different region to this region. When reference was made to the woman coming from the harvest, that is based on the story that took place. So that's why a reference was made to Kotzir. But it's not to the exclusion of other circumstances. Chazru Beis Hillel Lahoros Kebeis Shammai, and Beis Hillel decided to rule like Beis Shammai. Tanya. Omru Lohem Beis Shammai LeBeis Hillel. Beis Shammai, who was more expansive in their acceptance and willingness to accept the woman's testimony, they said to Beis Hillel, "Divrechem, according to you, ein li elok tzirchitim. If you are patterning your ruling based on the incident that had taken place, then you would be limiting the believability of a woman to a case where she's coming from a harvest of wheat. How about a woman coming from a harvest of barley, and she tells us that her husband died? Would you believe her? And that we believe her would be only in a case of a grain harvest. The following words refer to the harvest of different types of produce. Botser, mosek, goder, oder, minayin. What about the harvest of other kinds of fruits? Ela maise shoya bekotzir. True, the incident of the woman coming to tell us about her husband's death was after the harvest. Was she came from the harvest? V'adin lekulu. The same would apply to all other kinds of harvests. Hachanami maise shoya ba'oisa medina. Likewise, with regard to proximity, the incident that took place was where she reported his death within the same area that they lived. V'wadin l'kulu. Likewise, with regard to all cases where even if she comes from afar and tells us. U'Beis Hillel. Now, what's Beis Hillel's reaction to this? B'oisa medina d'shchichi inshi mirtas. Within the same region where there are a lot of people, a lot of people are found, are common in the same locale, so she would be afraid to lie. Mirtas means afraid. Min medina le medina acheres, from one region to another, the lo shchichi in she lo mirtas. If the woman is coming from region A and reporting that her husband had died there, and the report takes place in region B, there aren't many people from region A in region B that would be a deterrent for her to lie. U'Beis Shammai. What's Beis Shammai's reaction to that? After all, it certainly is a consideration that there are people around that could contradict what she's saying. So Beis Shammai says, Hocha nami shchichi shiarta. Even if you're in two different regions, there is travel, shiarta literally caravans, there's travel between one area and another. And if she's saying that her husband died in region A, people can come from region A to region B to either verify that or contradict it. So she has a deterrent in that sense from lying. My Maisa Shehoya, what is that incident that the Mishnah, that Beis Hillel had been referring to? The Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Shilfi means at the end of. Shilfi Ktsirfi, it was the end of the wheat harvest. Hoyu, the Holchu Asor B'nei Odom Liktsorchitim. 10 men went to harvest wheat. Noshu Nochosh Li'echod Mehenumes. A snake bit one of them and he died. Ubosu Ishto V'hodiya L'Beisdin. And the wife came and informed Beisdin. V'sholchu Motsu B'kidvora. They sent for verification and they found she was telling the truth. At that moment they said, a woman who says my husband died, she can now marry someone else. My husband died in a case that he left no children, but a surviving brother continues. So then she does yibum with him. The Gemara raises a question. You'll see it takes a number of lines to develop. On the side, we have a tat nosei, a subtopic heading. Hagemor mala sheila. The Gemara raises a question. Haim yesh lahashvois machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'ne'emonus isha. Is there room to parallel the machlokes between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding believability of a woman to Beis Shammai lo magbilin? We find that Beis Shammai is not limiting. Hillel magbilim, and Beis Hillel does limit. Makbila, does it turn out to be parallel to Machlokes Chachomer Reb Chanina ben Akiva, Bekesher Ligzero Shaosru Havoras Mechatus Benar, regarding a rabbinic ruling restriction imposed upon transporting Mechatus? This is the water containing the ashes of the red heifer that's used for the purification of those defiled as a result of contact with the dead. There was a gzera made regarding the transportation of that water over a river. Shechachomim lo magbilim. The Chachomim indicated that the gzera is not limited. And the Rabbi Chanina magbil. And that's Rabbi Chananya. He does limit. This will become much clearer as we go into the Gemara, but we've established the groundwork, namely that there's one shita that we saw by the believability of a woman, one shita that of Beis Shammai that's not limiting, and the shita of Beis Hillel which is limiting. So now the Gemara. Nemo, shall we say, Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva of Rabbonon, these two Tanaic opinions, the Plukto de Beis Shammai Silo Komifli, that their machlokas would parallel the earlier machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that we've already learned. The Sanya. We should point out, by the way, that in this context of transportation of Pora Aduma water, reference will be made to a certain incident that happened. And you see, with the markings later in the Gemara, a diamond around what is that incident that's referred to. So in the meantime, we have a source that says, Lo yisa adam mei chatos fi efer chatos. A person should not carry the water of the for the purposes of poraduma purification, which is called mei chatos. Fi efer chatos, the ash of the burnt heifer. Fi aviram b'yardein v'sfina. And have them transported in the Jordan River in a boat. Nor should one stand on one side of the river and hurl it over to the other side of the river. Nor float it across the river. Nor have it transported on the back of an animal. Not on the back of an animal, not on the back of his friend. Elo im kein hoyu raglov noigois bekarka. It would be acceptable only if the legs. When we speak about someone on an animal, we should say someone's riding on an animal, crossing the river on the back of an animal, or riding on the shoulders of his friend across a body of water. So this is not allowed unless Elim Kein Hoyu Raglov Noigois Bekarka, unless the feet of the upper guy are touching the floor. You'll notice there's a Rashi. He says Elim Kein Raglov Shel Elyon Noigois Bemayim Bekarka, unless the upper one's feet are touching the water that's attached to the ground. Avol Maviram Al Hagesher. You could, however, have the Mei Pora or the Efer Chatos carried across a bridge. The bridge is considered like firm ground, and it's not similar to floating across a river on a boat. And we made reference to the transportation of the Pora Duma elements, Echod Yarden VeEchod Sharnoros, whether it be the Jordan River or other rivers. All of these restrictions will apply. So we have a rather broad presentation of the Gezerah. Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva Oimer lo omru elo yarden ubesfino kemaisi shehoya. The restriction of transporting the Pora Aduma elements is limited to the Jordan River and floating across in a boat. Any variation of that would be okay, because the Jordan River and the floating across in the boat on the Jordan River, that's ukemaisisha. That parallels the incident that was is the basis of this restriction. Lemo Rabbonon D'Amrika Beishamai, should we say that the Tanakama in this source with the Pora Aduma, which represented an opinion that is expansive, parallels Beishamai, that also was not limiting regarding the acceptance of the woman's testimony. Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva D'Amar Kebeis Hillel, and Rabbi Chananya, who limited the Gzeira by the Pora Aduma, would parallel Beis Hillel, who was hitting concerning the circumstances under which we will believe the woman. This is the end of the long question, and we presented the attempted parallel. The Gemara rejects this, and it also takes a number of lines. You can see we have a long marking. Amri Loch Rabbonon. The Rabbonon, namely the Tanakama in this source with the Pora Aduma, says, Anan di Amrinon af kebeis Hillel. We would agree, our Shita is in accordance with Beis Hillel as well. Ad kan, lokomar Beis Hillel hosam, up till now, Beis Hillel said what they did regarding Nemonas Isha, and they were insisting on her acceptance or her believability only when she comes from Anir, Elo Mishum de Mirtas, because of that needed element of fear to serve as a deterrent from lying. B'mokom Korov Mirtas, B'mokom Rochok, Lo Mirtas. When she's coming with the information from Anir, so she would have fear. She has fear to lie if she's coming from afar, so there isn't that deterrent. And you need, in order to establish and believability, you need to have this fear element to serve as a deterrent from lying. Hocho, with regard to the transportation of the Mei Chatos, of the Efer Chatos, Mali Yardein, Mali Shar Nahoros, what difference does it make what body of water it is, whether it's the Jordan River or other rivers? The same consideration that we haven't actually learned yet, but the same consideration would apply. For Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva Amar Loch, Ano Diamri Afla Beis Shammai. I say what I do in accordance with Beis Shammai as well. Ad kan lo kamri beis Shammai hosam. Beis Shammai said what they did with regard to the believability of a woman, where they were makil, they were accepting of her, even if she's coming from afar. Elo mishum di'ihi daiko minsaba. Her believability is based on the idea that she would not remarry unless she thoroughly checked out the facts establishing her husband's death. And since we're basing her believability on this element of daiko mitzvah, of her being very careful in her research concerning his death, mali mokum karov, mali mokum rochok, what difference does it make whether the woman is coming from anear or she's coming from afar? Hacha, with regard to the mei chatos, mishum maisa shahoya, the reason that there was the imposition of some kind of restriction regarding transportation, it was because of an incident that took place. Biyardein ubesfino dahave maisa gozer rabbanon. The original incident involved the Jordan River and the Efer Pora being transported in a boat. B'shar noros dolo have a maisa lo gozer rabbanon. But regarding other rivers where the maisa never took place, the rabbanon did not impose a restriction. The idea being that when the rabbis establish some type of restriction, they like to parallel it or pattern it after the original story, the original incident. My Maaseh Shehoya, what exactly is that incident that we've been referring to with regard to the Torah Aduma? Diomar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Maaseh Ba'odom Shoyamavir Mei Chatzis Ve'efer Chatzis Biyardim B'Sfina. There was a story, an incident where a man transported the waters and the ash needed for the purification, and he was transporting it in the Jordan River while on a boat. And there was an olive quantity of corpse tissue that was wedged into the bottom of the boat, and that was responsible for the defilement of the mei pora and the efer pora that were contained in a vessel that overshadowed the vessel containing the mei chatas. At that point, they said, "Lo yisa adam mei chatas veefer chatas viavirim viyardeinu besvina." Don't do that. Don't do that anymore. Don't carry the mei chatas or the efer chatas and transport it over in the Jordan on a boat. Once again, because of that incident. Beis Shammai omrim tinosei v'titol ksubasa. Beis Hillel omrim tinosei v'lo titol ksubasa. Another machlokus regarding the woman who says her husband died. Does she, through that, enable herself to collect the ksuba, the financial guarantee that all women receive upon their marriage? That in the event they become divorced or widowed, they collect the amount, the money that is provided for by the ksuba document. Beis Shammai says, when she says meis bali, of course she's able to remarry, and she also collects the money. And Beis Hillel says she can remarry, but she's not going to be able to collect the money. And we're talking about collecting money from his property, from her husband's estate. Omru lohem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, "Hitartem ervo chamura v'lo natir momen akal." Based on her word, we're allowing a woman that was previously known as a married woman, and for a married woman to cohabit with another man is a very serious offense. It's an offense in the realm of erva, forbidden relations. And yet we accept her word and allow her remarriage. So you're allowing an isur erva based on her word. Should we not allow her to collect money? The realm of momenus is viewed as a more lenient realm. Omar Lohem Beis Hillel. Motsinu, we continue at the top of Kuf Yud Zayin Omer Aleph. She'ein ho'achim nichnosim denachlo al piha. We know that when the woman testifies that her husband is dead, his heirs, for example, if he has brothers that would inherit him, they do not take over his property. You need to have two witnesses in order to enforce or to generate the transfer of finances or of property. Rashi adds that as far as her ability to remarry, there the Rabbanon recognize room for leniency because otherwise she'll remain an aguna. She'll remain unmarried for the rest of her life. We continue in the Mishnah. Omru lohem beishamai. Valo misefer ksuba nilmod shu kosev law. From the text of the ksuba document, we learn as follows. Shim tinosi liacher titli ma shekosev lichi. That's a text from the ksuba, which says that if she marries someone else, she shall collect that which he had written to her, which he had guaranteed to her in the ksuba. And behold, the woman is remarrying. So based on the text of the ksuba, we entitle the woman, says Beis Shammai, to collect her ksuba. V'chozru Beis Hillel lahoros kedivrei Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel was convinced to change their approach and accept that of Beis Shammai, that the woman is believed to about her husband's death even to collect her ksuba. Omar Rav Chisda Nisyavma, if the woman, as a result of her testifying that her husband died, a man that left no children, then does Yibum. Yevoma nichnas lenachlo al piha. The surviving brother will take over the deceased brother's estate. The Yevom inherits the deceased brother's estate as a result of doing the Yibum. Haim dorshu midrash ksuba. We saw in the Mishnah the emphasis on the text of the ksuba in order to derive a halachic conclusion. Onu lo nidrosh midrash Torah. Should we not do the same to the psukim in the Torah? In other words, if it's felt that the text of the ksuba reveals information, all the more so the text of the Torah should be revealing. What does it say in the Torah? Yakum al shem ochiv Omar Rachmona. The Yavam, who the brother who marries his sister-in-law, establishes the name of his brother. Vaharei kum, and behold, through marrying her, he has established his deceased brother's name, and that entails his taking over the properties of that particular deceased brother. Omar of Nachman, Basa lebeizdin v'yomran. Here we have a series of cases. You can see we have a double underline marking, one of our series markings, and on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature the double underline, and we note Arba Nuschoi Tvius Isha. There are four texts that a woman might recite, might utter. Atoyenes Meis Bali, while she is claiming that her husband died. Al Shtaim Rishonus Rav Nachman Poisek Es Hadin. In the first two examples, Rav Nachman issues a ruling. Shtaim Achronus a Noisei Birur HaGemara. They are the subject of the Gemara in its question Ibai Elohu, where the Gemara asks about the second two cases. So Rav Nachman tells us as follows. Bos le beis din v'yomra. Woman comes into the beis and says, Meis bali hatiruni linosei. My husband died. Give me permission to marry someone else. Matirin oso linosei. We enable her to marry someone else. V'noisnin lo ksubos. And we also provide her with the ksuba. We provide her with those funds that were promised to her in her initial marriage. A woman comes into court saying, Tenu li ksubasi. If that's, she comes in saying that, Af li nosei ein matirin osop. We won't enable her even to remarry. My taima, why so restrictive? Daita de ksubasoi, she had only one thing in mind, and that was to get money. And Rashi points out, in order to extract money, to transfer from one domain to another, from the husband's estate to her possession, you need to have two witnesses, concerning his death, and you don't have that here. Ibayalaho, a woman says that her husband died. Hatiruni linose utenu liksubasi mahu. Here she cites in her claim 2 points. Allow me to remarry, and she says, give me my ksuba. What do we say? Two sides of the analysis. Aleph, oy dilmo. The next line, see, oy dilmo, school line, base. Kevon di omro ksubasa, since she made reference to the ksuba, we can say the money. Adaita de ksubasoi, that's what's really on her mind. And we wouldn't accept her. Oy dilmo, kol mili di is le liinish omar lohu lebe dino. The nature of people is everything that's on their mind, they will say in the court. The woman in this case simply combined the ksuba reference with her desire to remarry. So it's not as if you have a woman that's focused on the money, and if that be the case, then we can allow her to, we can accept her. And she can remarry, and she'll get her ksuba. And if you go with that approach, that people say everything that's on their minds, what happens in a case where she says that her husband died? Notice there's a change in order, 4 different than 3. Mahu. What happens in this case? Here she gave precedence to her ksuba claim, so that is the reason, that is the what, that's the exclusive reason she's really coming in. Or she said ksuba first, simply she didn't know what is the information or what are the words that she has to say in order to enable her to in fact remarry. And the fact remains, she does mention Hatiruni Linose, and that reveals to us that that's really what's on her mind. The fact that she mentioned Ksuba first, thought that maybe by requesting the Ksuba, that's what enables her to get remarried. Teku. So as far as the questions here are concerned, they remain unresolved. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.